Romans chapter 1. And we'll begin, we'll start off here in Romans chapter 1, and then we have some other scriptures that we'll reference here in just a moment. Romans chapter 1, let's go ahead and begin reading in verse 18. Romans chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 18. Follow along with us in the Bible, if you would. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let me switch mics here real quick. There we go. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, and being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This is not necessarily part of the message, but I want to read just a few verses more. In verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men's work that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege to come to your house. Lord, we just ask for clarity. We pray for that you would minimize distractions for the next few moments. And Lord, I pray that, God, you would give us wisdom as we need help. Lord, remove us out of the way. Let everything said and done be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Continuing on tonight, church, really in dealing with, of course, our Bible doctrines. And specifically tonight, we are looking at the theology of God. And one other aspect of the Lord about God is how God reveals himself. This chapter speaks to a lot of things in how God reveals himself. And most of our time is not necessarily going to be in this chapter, but I do want to say a few things about it. Now, again, keep in mind as we go through this Bible doctrines, it's probably not like typical preaching, if you will, but it is necessary for us to understand. And again, our vision and our goals for you to understand biblical doctrines, why we believe certain things and what we believe, so that you can be better grounded and rooted in the Word of God. Now, I want to say a few things to the latter part of this, and then I'm going to get back to really where I want to be. Understand that what is described probably in verses 24 through the end of the chapter there in verse 32, talking about sinful choices, sinful decisions, the results of those sins, the choices that were made as far as the sin nature, a lot of things that we're seeing here. And the only thing that I want to say is this reminds me of what we see over in 2 Timothy, where it says, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. And church, I'm just saying that we're here, right? This is a chapter here in particular. In fact, and again, I'm not going to intend to preach on this part tonight, but I mean, even just for example, just to point out a couple of things, and these are things that we're seeing. It talks about there in verse 26, for this cause God gave them to vile affections, for even women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. Same thing for the men in the very next chapter. You do realize what it's talking about, right? It's talking about homosexuality, leaving the natural use of the woman and the natural use of the man. I'm just going to remind you that from the beginning, God created male and female.
That's right.
Amen. God brought marriage to be between a man and a woman. And so, you know, I'm not here to be mean and ugly. I'm just letting you know where we stand according to the Word of God. This is where Florence Baptist Church stands. This is a biblical position. That doesn't mean that we don't love people who live that kind of lifestyle. In fact, we want to show them the love of Christ and bring them to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Our prayer is that they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, right? And let me also add to that, it mentions fornications and a few other things. Homosexuality is sin, just like adultery is sin, just like fornication is sin. These are all sins according to the Word of God, right? And so again, we probably all know someone in that lifestyle or living that way. I'm just letting you know, according to the Bible, this is sin. I mean, there's no other way around it. So here's just one example, but again, people can get so far away from God, it even says specifically in there that they were turned over to a reprobate mind, right? They're so far away from the things of God, they're just going to go ahead and they're going to eventually have revealed to them, because we're really dealing with how God reveals himself. But eventually the wrath of God will be revealed to them. And it's not going to be in a good way, church. You know, if the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then they're not living as they have any wisdom in their life. In fact, the Bible says, professed themselves to be wise, they became fools, right? So this is a group of people. Honestly, I think about a lot of these universities, they've become so educated that they have outsmarted the Bible, right? The Bible doesn't make sense to them. The Bible doesn't have any logic to them. And professing themselves to be wise, they actually became fools. So just keep in mind, again, this isn't the main subject for tonight, but it does talk about God revealing himself through the judgment. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment, right? We will stand before a holy God. So I just wanted to make that observation because this is part of where it goes to. That's not the main thought for tonight, but I feel like it's important for us to know where we stand, of course, because of what the Bible says about it. Now, specifically to what we're looking at tonight, church, we are talking about how God reveals himself. You know, there's a lot of things that people say that God told them to do certain things. And I'll just be honest with you, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I have a problem with it. Amen. Sometimes people come up with things that I'm not even going to get into all the stories tonight. All I'm saying is that if you want to know whether something's of the nature of the Lord, you'll find it in the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, friend, then it's not of God. Okay? So be careful. In fact, in one of the scriptures that we use as we began our study was to try the spirits, whether they are of God. We've got to be wise about that today, church. Right? Just because a place calls them a place of worship, calls themselves a place of worship, does not mean that it's of God. A satanic church could set up and say that they worship, but they're not worshiping God. Amen. God help us. There's places that call themselves churches, but there's no Bible preaching. There's no gospel message given. And if there's no gospel message given, then it's not a church according to what we find in the Word of God. How can you have a church and not proclaim the gospel message? How can you have a church and not preach and teach on the Word of God, out of the Word of God, through the Word of God? So just because somebody or something calls themselves Christian or calls themselves a place of worship, is becoming a trend even today to be ministry centers and family centers and all these kind of things. And it's about to the place where they don't even call themselves a church. They're not even acknowledging themselves as a church. So probably we shouldn't either. Amen. And I'm not trying to be mean and ugly. I'm just telling you that's a fact. Right? A church is a sacred place. A church, according to the Word of God, it's an assembly. It means ecclesia, a called out assembly. We are an assembly here, a local New Testament church, and a church is a special place. Right? So just keep in mind, that's kind of more introduction, that God reveals himself, but if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, friend, then we need to be concerned. So the first thing that we're looking at tonight in the manner of God reveals himself is God does reveal himself in nature. Okay? In nature. Notice in verse number 20 of where we just read, for the invisible things of him from what? The creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People talk about all these things. Oh, I don't believe in God. Let me say a couple things. First of all, the Bible does say that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God.
Right. Amen.
So it's a foolish statement, right? Second of all, I've come to find out that usually people who come to that conclusion in their mind have somehow justified it in their mind. And it often is because of a tragic event or something that has happened in their life. And what's actually happened is they become bitter against God. Or somebody has hurt them and that represented the Lord or proclaimed to be a Christian or something. They become bitter against that person. And the only way that they can come to a conclusion in their mind is that there must not be a God or there must not be true representatives of God. So therefore, there must not be a God. The other thing I want to say is I believe sometimes people come to that conclusion in their mind because if they think that they don't believe in God, then they're not accountable to God, which is also not true, right? You don't have to believe in him to not be accountable to him. You will stand before in judgment again before God one day, right? And if that's your belief, you'll stand before the great white throne judgment, meaning those who are not saved, right? A Christian will stand before the bema seat of Christ. We will give an account of how we lived our lives. Somebody who's not saved will stand before the great white throne judgment because, first of all, you didn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And unfortunately, you'll believe in God at that moment. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right? The problem is if you don't do it here on earth and go ahead and proclaim him as your Lord and Savior and to receive him and ask for repentance of your sin and you try to do it then, it's going to be too late. Okay? In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, it even says, many have prophesied, or Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name done many marvelous works? Just because somebody prophesies in the name of the Lord doesn't mean that it's of God. Right? And the answer that God will give them and to me would be the worst thing that you could hear in all of eternity. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What a tragic thing, church, wouldn't it be for God to say, I never knew you? What a scary thought. Amen. I'm glad to tell you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. My name has been written down in heaven. In fact, Christ said that's a reason to rejoice. If you're here tonight and you've had a bad day, you've had a bad week, friend, I want to give you a good reason to rejoice. If you've been saved by the grace of God, your name's been written down and you have a biblical and spiritual and even emotional reason tonight to rejoice because you have been saved by the grace of God and your name has been written down, meaning that you won't be the one to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. Amen? Amen. Hey, my name will be in the book. Amen. God knows who I am and I will be able to go into heaven because of my receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. In fact, that's a good question to ask people. When you're witnessing to somebody, we'll say, how do you know that you're going to heaven? Well, I'm a pretty good person. Right, but what is it? How do you know that you're going to heaven? Well, I can say because I received the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's something else, it's I was baptized. Well, that's great, but were you saved? Right? Oh, well, you know, I'm a member of the church. Well, that's wonderful, but actually, have you been saved by the grace of God? So just a quick thought there. But we're talking about here that God reveals himself through creation. The Bible says that they'll literally be without excuse. You look at the world, you look at creation, and how can you come to any other conclusion that God created that? How can you come to the conclusion? In fact, to be honest, church, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does the creation of God. If you start to study out the beliefs that evolutionists actually have, it does literally take more faith to believe that nonsense than it does the faith to believe that God created the world. I mean, just look at the complexity of our human bodies, right? I mean, we've got new technology. We've got a camera there and a camera here. And somebody made a comment, the new camera looks nice. You know, cameras seem to get better all the time. You realize it's still not as complex as the eyeballs that God gave us. God gave us two, and there's still not gonna, there's not going to be any camera come out that is complex, that communicates with our brain and has, you know, I'm not scientific in that regard, but I'm just telling you, I know that the complex, there's nothing that will ever be designed the way that God created us to be. Amen. I mean, how is all these things lined up? How did all these things happen? All the planets, come together that seem to be in the perfect spot, right? If we were any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were any further away, we'd freeze up. How did it just land perfectly in the right spot, right? And just, you know, it must have just happened like that. Somebody shook something and it just showed up. No, that's God, friend. The Bible says that they're going to be without excuse. They may have come to some kind of reasoning in their mind where they think that they have accepted that or they've been educated. But the Bible says in verse 20 that God reveals himself through creation, and according to the word of God, they will be without excuse. So the first thing that's important, we know how God reveals himself. He does reveal himself through nature. I also want to give you Psalms 19 and verse 1. Psalms 19 and verse 1, I do love this verse. The heavens declare what? The glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? So we've mentioned things about our body. We've mentioned about the planets, but you ever looked up and wonder, man, how in the world did that just get there? How did all these things come together like that? You know, who's been to the Grand Canyon and seen that one of the seven wonders of the world? Who's been to just places you look across the ocean and think, my goodness, look at the beauty of this creation, right? I mean, there's hardly nothing better than watching the sunset go down in the west or the sunset go down over the ocean or something like that, especially on the west. I mean, that's the handiwork of God. That's the creation of God. And those are just some examples, friend. We could keep talking about that. But my point is that, first of all, God reveals himself through nature. We see here, according to Romans 1:20, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. When the Bible says clearly seen, in other words, there's no confusion. There's not a misunderstanding. It's clearly seen. And then it says there, without excuse, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the handiwork of God. So number one, God reveals himself through nature. Number two, God also reveals himself through general revelation, right? It's general revelation. Let's go to Acts chapter 10 and verses 1 through 2. We'll look at a couple of verses there. Acts chapter 10 and verses 1 through 2. Let me flip back over there. I've got a lot of notes and things that I'm working through here. Acts chapter 10. Love for you to see all this, so follow along with this in the scriptures. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, excuse me. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. There's your first Italian band singers, I guess. I don't know, church. This is the only band that I know of in the Bible. They were an Italian band. They weren't a picker band, Brother Kevin. They were an Italian band. Somebody, hey, amen. I'm just kidding. Y'all just smile a little bit. Verse 2, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to all the people and prayed to God already. And he saw a vision, evidently, in about the ninth hour of the day, of the angel of God come to him, saying, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Then he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms be up for a memorial before God. And now send me to Joppa, who one called for Simon, or whose surname is Peter. He longeth with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So we see here, first of all, that God is revealing himself to this man, Cornelius. Now, let me say a couple of things. Just because somebody knows who God is does not make them a Christian. Okay? Just because God or somebody has a knowledge of God does not mean that they're saved. In fact, I'll go as far as say somebody may believe in God. Okay? So maybe they are not atheist or agnostic or however they want to label themselves, but they say, well, I believe in God, I'm just not one of those church-going Christians. You've heard that before, haven't you? How many's heard that, right? I believe in God, I'm just not a practicing Christian, or not a practicing Catholic or whatever. Friend, again, just because you believe in God does not make you a Christian. So God may have been revealed to you, you may have been taught about God, you may have a knowledge of God, but that does not mean that you're saved. In fact, the Bible says that even the devils believe and tremble.
That's right.
right? They even believe in God. They even know their doom. Even they know their fate. And yet they are still not saved, right? So, and by the way, there's probably a lot of devils running around on the earth that believe in God that aren't going to heaven. Amen? Hey, listen, I'm not trying to be mean again tonight. I'm just trying to preach the truth to you tonight. Amen? I'm just telling you that just because somebody, all the time, friend, this is sad. This is not joking matter at all. This is really sad. All the time when it comes to preaching a funeral, all of a sudden everybody is saved. You ever notice that? Oh, they were a Christian. I know that they had a Bible in their sock drawer. Friend, having a Bible in your sock drawer does not make you a Christian. You could have a stack of Bibles from floor to the wall in your bedroom. That does not mean you're a Christian. I mean, people literally, and again, I'm not trying to dishearten people. I'm not trying to put people, give people heartache and trouble. I'm just letting you know this is how critical it is for us to make sure and to proclaim the gospel and to make sure that our family knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because there's a lot of people that believe just because their family talked about God one time in their life that they were Christian, that does not make them a Christian. That does not make them saved. Friend, it's absolutely critical that we tell everybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That say, well, it's hard to witness our family. I understand that. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Just because something is hard, just because something is difficult, doesn't mean we should not do it. Amen? Is it not worth telling your family about what Jesus did for them at Calvary and saying, hey, friend, I'm concerned for you. I love you. I want to make sure that you receive Christ as your Savior, because this is what will happen if you don't. Friend, it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. Why worry about an uncomfortable conversation for a few moments when they'll be uncomfortable for all of eternity burning in hell? Now, you tell me which one's better. I'd rather be uncomfortable for a couple minutes so that somebody doesn't die and go to hell, or at least made an effort to tell them about Christ and not blood be required on my hand. I'd rather just see them go ahead and get saved. I'm not even thinking about the blood. I want to see them get saved. Friend, it's urgent. It's critical. So just because somebody has been revealed to God, just because somebody has a knowledge of God, does not make them a Christian. Just because they own a Bible doesn't make them a Christian. Just because they go to church doesn't make them a Christian. Just because they go to a Bible-believing church does not make them a Christian. So this is another way that God reveals Himself. Sometimes He reveals Himself in what we call just general revelation. Let me give you a couple other quick thoughts on that. Also in Psalms 8, verses 2 through 4. Psalms 8, verses 2 through 4. Psalms chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, again, we're talking about something that we see in nature. The psalmist here is speaking again, when I consider the heavens. And notice what he says after the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. And then he goes on to question, how is man even a thought in your mind? Why would you even consider mankind? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? So you see, church, again, it's part of the revelation of God is in nature, further emphasized right here. But then furthermore, the fact that God even thinks about us. The fact that God even cared enough about us to send His Son, He didn't have to do that, friend. You know what happens oftentimes is that things that we have had for a while, we often take for granted. And one of those things, I believe, is our salvation. We've been saved. We know we're on our way to heaven. But I think sometimes we lose the joy of our salvation. Something else that often we take for granted is our family, right? Maybe our spouse. We start to just take that for granted. And, you know, we don't have the same kind of affection that we had at one time. That's really a whole another lesson for another day. But I'm just saying that sometimes We don't appreciate those kind of things. We don't appreciate our children. How many of you are here tonight in church and your children are healthy? Friend, you ought to praise God for that. Because I tell you what, right now, I've been at cancer centers. And I've seen children with cancer. And I've seen children with horrible diseases. Friend, you ought to thank God every day on your knees that your children are well and healthy. Amen. You ought to thank the Lord for having a roof over your head. Doesn't matter to me how big or how small or what color it is. Hey, friend, you ought to go home and thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for putting a roof over my head. You could live in a place where there is no roof over your head, yet the best roof you might have is cuddled up under a tree somewhere or some kind of cardboard box somewhere in a back alley. Friend, there's people literally living like that every day. We have a lot to be thankful for. So when we think of a verse that says, what is mine that thou art mindful of? It's a pretty good question. God, why would you even consider us? We're so wicked and sinful. Why would you even think of us? Why would you want to reveal yourself to us? Why would you give us some beautiful things in creation when I consider thy handiwork, when I consider the heavens, the moon, and the stars? Lord, why have you been so good to us? So, again, this is part of God revealing himself to us. Other scripture I want to give you, go back to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And we're going to look there in verses 14 through 15. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of their law, notice this, written in their hearts, their what? Conscience, and bearing witness in their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else accusing one another. You know what this is saying, friend, is that not only again when God reveals himself is through nature, but also in our conscience. Okay? In our natural state, even in our basic human conscience, the Bible's talking about here, that we have a concept of right and wrong. Right? Now, we don't see things spiritually speaking, and we'll get to that more in just a second. We don't have a complete understanding of the nature of God and who God is until we receive God and become a child of God. But God even created us a natural instinct, a natural conscience, right? That we have a basic understanding of right and wrong. Where do we think that came from? Do we think that the world instilled that in us? I mean, I know a lot of good people that are not Christians that would treat you just as good as many Christians that you know, if not better. I know a lot of good people that wouldn't harm a fly. I know a lot of good people that don't drink. I know a lot of good people that don't swear. I know a lot of good people that give to charity and all these kind of, why? Because they have within their nature to want to be good. Doesn't mean they're saved. Doesn't mean they're Christians, but they have a nature to want to be good. They don't break the law. I mean, one of the things that I do every day, I mean, I've run hundreds of what's called consumer reports and MVRs, and essentially what happens is that I get a history. I learn a little bit about you by running your MVR, believe it or not, right? I'm going to know if you had a DUI. I'm going to know if you had a major accident within the last 5 years. I'm going to know if you had any tickets, right? People tell me, they might as well go and tell me, because if they want me to run their driver's license, I'm going to know, right? But you know, when you look at that, I run MVRs all the time, clean. I mean, you know, no tickets. In other words, they obey the law. No accident. Now, accidents happen. I realize I'm not saying that they're a bad person. I'm just saying that they're cautious in their driving, right? They got a good history. They don't have what's called a lapse in coverage, which is a bad thing. You don't want to go with a lapse in coverage in the insurance world. Makes you more of a high risk. All I'm saying is that they're good people. They obey the law. They have a good conscience to want to do right and live right, even though they don't have a knowledge of God, or not even a knowledge of God, but a desire to even serve God. They don't have a desire to do, but they have a good conscience. God instills that nature in people. Now, sometimes people ignore that nature, right? Sometimes people get to that reprobate mind. They become so wicked and hard-hearted against the things of God. And sometimes we see them as serial killers, right? And just really twisted people that have no regard for human life or how their decisions and what they do affect human. I get that. They've left the natural state of how God created them to be and turned into something else. Talks a little bit about that at the end of the chapter, right? That's part of some of that wickedness that happens. But my point is that here, according to the Bible, God even reveals himself through our own conscience, within ourselves, about who we are created to be. So that's another way that God does reveal himself. And then let me also show you something else. I believe that God reveals himself through history as well. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to just give you a couple of things there. Deuteronomy 28, verses 9 and 10. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people in himself, and he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Right? So, understand, we're talking about people shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. When you study out history, you'll see people, and whether people accept it or not, they will be known as Christians because they're called by the name of the Lord. There's things that you see in history that are documented. I mean, some of the things that you'll find, for example, Nebuchadnezzar, you'll find is well documented as being the king of Babylon there. You find it in the Word of God. You find it in historical books. You see archaeology that has been unearthed trying to disprove actually God and the existence of God, except for it goes out the other way. For example, when you think about Jericho, the walls of Jericho, now naturally when you attack a wall and you attack it from the outside in, they generally fall in. Did you know that when they discovered the archaeology and the historical facts of Jericho that the walls were out? You know why that is? Because that's what the Bible says. They marched around the city 7 times and the walls fell out. How do you think that happened? That was a historical event of a people who were known by God, documented in history, unnatural to how normally walls would fall out because that's the way God designed it to be, right? So we see those kind of historical facts even through history and archaeology and things of that nature, right? So we've talked about God revealing himself in nature, in general revelation. And then the last thing I want to mention is a special revelation. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Just a couple more thoughts we want to give you this evening. And then we're all going to Miss Sarah's house for supper. Amen. Amen. She didn't say no, church. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, we talked a little bit about the natural man earlier and the conscience that he receives. Notice what it says here in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of who? The Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Right? In other words, they don't have spiritual discernment concerning the things of God. Spiritual things of God. They don't understand things sometimes like having grace, or having mercy, or having compassion, or the love of God, agape love. God, why would God love us as he does, and things like that. They don't understand the Holy Spirit of God indwelling within us because they've not experienced that. They've not had that. Maybe they don't even understand conviction and that they've never been in a place or time where they've heard the Word of God preached and been convicted in their hearts of need of salvation. They don't understand that. I understand that. I remember when the Lord spoke to my heart about being saved. I remember certain things that God moved and impressed upon me. They don't understand that. They're spiritually discerned. So here is really more of a special revelation that God does for us in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I do want to say this. Be also very careful. They don't always label it this way, But oftentimes they'll say, I have something new from God. Now, you have not seen this in your Bibles. You better go ahead and just turn it off right there. When they start off a statement that says, I have something new from God, you've never heard this in church before, you've never heard this in the Bible before, that's a huge red flag, right? Because the kind of special revelation we have is those things that God reveals to us as Christians because we have spiritual discernment, right? Not, oh, hey, I'm finding these tablets buried over here because the Bible is not sufficient. Are y'all with me? The Bible is not sufficient, so here's these tablets that are buried over here. This is special or new revelation from God. There is no more new revelation in that regard. Okay, so we have to be very, very careful about that. For the record, in case you're wondering, I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Their faith is based on a man named Joseph Smith, not Jesus Christ. Joseph Smith is their chief cornerstone, right? Charles Russell Taze, you know who that is? The founder of the Jehovah Witnesses. Similar, you know, they have another, they don't even believe in the deity of Christ. They don't even see Christ as Savior, Christ as God. That's a whole different dimension. All I'm saying, friends, where do they get those things? Because they introduce new revelation that is not in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this since we're there. Be very careful because the Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, believe it or not, did you know that they actually convert a lot of Baptists? That's right. Did you know that? You know what they do? You know what they do? Brother, can I borrow your Bible for a second? They'll show up at your door and say, is this your Bible, sir? What's your name? Kevin. Kevin's your name. This is your Bible? Oh, you know what? We use the Bible too. And oh, it's a King James. Oh, I even use a King James too. You know, but let me show you some other things because, you know, Kevin, the Bible's not sufficient.
They tried that already.
Did they? Didn't work out too well, did they? Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they have the Book of Mormon, the Church of God. My point is that they will. And I'm just saying that because I'm looking out for you as sheep in our church. I don't want them to come by and deceive you, friend. Right. I'm just saying be careful because they'll start to talk about things not in the Word of God or take the Word of God that we have and take it out of context. Right. So you've got to be cautious. You've got to be careful. The Jehovah Witnesses used to, now they use the New World Translation. Okay? But they have a similar approach, different cultish deception. I mean, it just is what it is, church. The Bible talks about mark them, right? We have to be careful. I'm not trying to be mean to, hey, they need Jesus. If you get a chance to share the gospel with them, then give it to them. Amen. They need to see the love of Christ. They need to hear the gospel preached to them. When I was in Bible college, in fact, me and my friend Josh Smith, I mentioned him a time or two. We were wild. I mean, Bible college, just wild as bucks, young bucks, right? You know what we would do, Brother Eccles, for Bible college fun? We would call Salt Lake City and witness to them. We would call their 800 number and witness. This is supposed to be their center of like, where they're supposed to help you about, you know, finding Christ and finding joy and all that. And we'd call them and just plain give them the gospel, amen? Amen. Tell them about Jesus. In fact, one time I called, I said, is Joseph Smith there? It was bad, boy. I said, is Joseph Smith there? They said, no. I said, well, since your God's dead, do you want to talk to mine? And I just, you know, so the things you do in Bible college, right? All I'm saying, friend, is that we have to be careful. We have to be careful. There's a lot of deception out there. There's a lot of so-called new revelation. And we just have to be careful. Somebody's probably listening to this via live stream getting upset. And I'm not trying to make you upset. I'm just trying to share the truth. Come on. Am I your enemy because I speak the truth? Amen. So that's not my goal. But my goal is also to train and equip our church here at Florence Baptist Church with what it says in the Word of God. When we talk about special revelation, we see that which people don't understand. The natural man doesn't understand. It's unnatural to him. But then also we think of faith, right? Go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And that's the basic concept. People can't accept the Lord by faith. They can't accept what he's done by faith. They can't accept the creation by faith. But yet the Bible says in Romans 10, 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Right? So again, do you remember one of my opening statements? If it doesn't line up by the Word of God, That's a red flag. If it goes against Scripture, friend, be careful, okay? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The last thing I want to mention here, go right back over there in same chapter, chapter 10, when we're talking about the Lord. I mentioned earlier that just a knowledge of God does not constitute salvation of God. Say, what is salvation? It's right here. We're going to end with this here. In verses 9, starting in chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So there's two things that we see in this chapter. There's a confession of what? Sin. And then there's a belief, right? In thine heart. So somebody can have the belief, but if there's not a confession, a true salvation, there is no being saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Verse 10 emphasizes them both again. Literally have to repent of your sin and believe in your heart. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And for the record, you say, well, what if somebody is extra evil? There's no difference. The way that they get saved is the same. It's the same for a Jew. It's the same for a Greek. Doesn't matter how wicked you are or how good you are. It's the same way to receive Christ as Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? So that is the belief with repentance, repenting of our sin, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. That is how a person comes to know Christ. It's not just a belief of God. That is how we come through the Lord, through salvation. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Giving you quite a bit tonight. Lord willing, next week we'll deal with the attributes of God. One of my favorite chapters in this study is dealing with the attributes of God. But for tonight, we've talked about how God reveals himself. And maybe tonight, God has revealed something to you in your heart that he wants you to confess, that he wants you to make right, that he wants you to do. Maybe as we were talking about our family being without Christ and the seriousness of it, maybe God revealed to you somebody that you know, a loved one that is on their way to hell, and God is impressing upon you to reach out to them, to be a witness to them. Maybe God revealed something to you tonight through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God. Whatever that is tonight, friend, I pray that you would just be obedient to the Lord. Would you be mindful to God? Would you not grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Don't grieve Him tonight. Be obedient. Be obedient as to what the Lord has showed you to do or revealed to you to do. Hopefully tonight you got a few things that will help you. Maybe you'll take them and study it. Try to be an encouragement to somebody else. Try to be a help to somebody else. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, so that last part you talked about, Pastor, I've never done that. I've never asked for repentance of my sin. I've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If that's you tonight, friend, would you come? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. We want to give you that opportunity, friend. I can't think of a better time, a better place. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Won't you come now and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you tonight, won't you come? Won't you come? Maybe you'll say tonight, Pastor, God revealed something to me or showed me something through the Word, through the preaching of the Word. Holy Spirit convicted me of something tonight. Would you pray for me, Pastor? God showed me something tonight. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else say, Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I want to be obedient to the Lord. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? I'm going to pray. Thank you. I see that hand. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Anybody else? I just want to go to God on your behalf, friend. Anybody else? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are so thankful again. Lord, we are truly thankful. I say that often when we pray because we are. But we are thankful again for the truth of the Scriptures. We're thankful, Lord, that not only you revealed yourself to us, you convicted us of our need for salvation, you've saved our souls. And Lord, for that, we are joyful. Lord, for that, we have a reason to be grateful. We have a reason to serve. We have a reason to love. Thank you, Lord, for what you did at Calvary. And Father, several lifted their hands and said that you spoke to their hearts, showed them something through the Word. The Holy Spirit convicted them of something. God, whatever that need may be, whatever that is, I pray that you'd help them, Lord, to be obedient to you. Lord, that they would just follow you and, Lord, obey you. Lord, to fulfill that thing that you've revealed to them, whatever it may be. God, maybe they want to be a witness to somebody. Maybe they have some sin in their life they need to confess. Maybe they have some things that need to be made right. Lord, whatever that is, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, I pray that you continue to be with the church. Lord, I pray that, God, that above all, you would get the glory and honor that everything is said and done through this church and the ministry here. Lord, we pray for the special days we have coming up. And God, we just need your help and we need your blessing upon it. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. In the precious holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. Appreciate you. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hold on a second, guys. Yeah. Come on up here. Let's go ahead and be seated for just a moment. Okay. Come on up for a second. We have talked, we spent some time in detail talking to Miss Teresa, Miss Liz, and they are formally asking for membership here at Florence Baptist Church. And so they have been saved, first of all. Say, what requires you to be members of our church according to the Bible? First of all, you must be saved, and they have all been saved. We've got the joy and the privilege to see them all come to know Christ. And then we got the joy and the privilege to see them all get baptized, right? So those are two things needed for church membership, salvation and baptism. So we'll give Miss Nancy just a moment. And so we're going to do that here in just a minute. And please forgive me. I'm not as good as Brother Tuck is on these kind of things, but we'll do the best that we can. All right. So with that, we'll have a motion to have an official business to conduct business on the church. Is there a motion to have business? Brother Eccles first. We'll try. And Brother Roger will be a second. Sorry, Miss Nancy. Brother Eccles will be a first. Brother Eccles first and Roger second. Motion to conduct business on behalf of Florence Baptist Church. Okay, and Teresa, Liz, Quentin, and Olivia, upon their profession of faith and baptism here at Florence Baptist Church, are asking for membership here at our church to be official members. Now, I just want to say that I feel like we've already accepted them in our hearts, but this is just making it official. They're requesting membership here at our church. Is there a motion to accept them into our membership? Brother Kevin is a first, and Roger is a second. There any opposed, or let me ask this, all in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any opposed? None. No opposition. Praise God. Amen. I thought there'd be at least five. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So we've got that recorded. And then is there a motion to officially close this business meeting? Dennis or Sarah, and then also Kevin is a second. Okay. All right. I think that's all. Did we cover it all, Miss Nancy? Okay. How about that? Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask the family, would you come back to the back with me? We'll have a word of prayer, and then make sure you come by and love on the family and welcome them officially. Now, they've been here, okay? We already fell in love with them a long time ago, okay? That's not the concern, but they're official members of our church. Welcome them to the Florence Baptist Church family. Brother Kevin, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer and ask for a special blessing on this dear family? Would you, brother?